Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. The Zetas have consistently emphasized in their Zeta Talk that those survivors of the pole shift in service to other communities will fare far better than those running with the service to self gangs. This is due to the tendency of those in the service to other to share, to cooperate, to care for each other through illness and injury. Those in the service to self hoard for themselves, struggle for supremacy, and desert and abandon each other without a second thought. Since life on Earth today is a mixture of both spiritual orientations, many people are confused about what life in a service to other community would be like. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Service to Other, written July 1995. There are many groups on Earth already who operate in the service to other orientation. They share their resources, address the problems of each as though it were a problem for the many, sacrifice their own comfort for the better comfort of the many, and do not impede the growth or awakening to knowledge of each other. In the Earth of the future, these qualities will seem to increase in people, and groups will find less and less need for artificial controls on their behavior, and more allowance for trust among each other. Human societies today are, in the main, populated by the undecided. This colors the social structure inevitably. Where communism ascribed to a system where each gave according to his ability and all were supported, this of course did not occur. Corruption quickly gained the upper hand, black markets emerging, such that those ascribing to the original philosophy starved and were worked half to death. Capitalism on its face fails, as why supporting the greedy, who without hesitation step on the least of those among them to raise themselves up, it encourages ignoring the suffering of the neighbor. Those who espouse capitalism, saying that capitalist nations are most successful, fail to count the suffering of the little man. Service to other success is not measured by the wealth and smugness of the few. Pollution, emotional deprivation, the dulling of the mind and heart of man on the street, these are the byproducts of capitalism. Religions likewise, even if based on the philosophy that the weakest among them should be cared for and all should give to the betterment of the group, fail. The Pope lives in splendor, gold and high ceilings everywhere, while those supporting this structure starve and are given edicts of sexual suppression that the pedophile priests hardly ascribe to. Thus, even in the average family, the service to other philosophy cannot proceed. Thus, other than read what we have described as our existence, we cannot point to a human culture, a human philosophy, as a case in point. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Well, if we can't really point to a culture, or a village, or a town living in the service to other philosophy, how do we identify it? How is the service to other individual identified? They don't loudly proclaim themselves, and in fact, if anyone does loudly proclaim themselves to be service to other in order to attract others to them, they most likely are service to self. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Orientation Test, written December 2002. Nancy and ourselves are often asked how one can determine if a stranger, or even a familiar friend, is service to other or service to self. Those who are mature souls can sense this in the other's spirit, the soul, instantly. Nancy is often criticized for being abrupt with a questioner, but she knows the reason for the questions, the approach, the offer, etc. It's not the actions of the other nor the words that give this clue. How does she know? She reaches out and senses the intent of the soul and was wise in this judgment prior to this incarnation. One of the reasons she was allowed to proceed on this communications role she has assumed with all our support. Immature souls, those young, who are always in an undecided position, not fully service to other in their orientation, are confused. They are confused because they have not yet sorted out their own motivations, goals, and agendas. They themselves are presenting a persona that is often false to the world and reassuring themselves that they have better motives than is true. They themselves have hidden agendas, will fail to deliver on promises, and are looking for others to support them when times get tight, though posturing otherwise. They do not know themselves, are not being honest with themselves, as this is discomforting, so are hardly known to others by the face they present. If anyone questions this analysis, thinking themselves more mature, then the proof is simple. Go into a messy human situation, into poverty, disease, helping the lowest of mankind as Mother Teresa did in India, living among them. One does not have to go far for this, as misery is everywhere. If one balks, makes excuses, cannot stay for more than a moment, then you have your answer. Thus, for those who want a criteria to determine service to other or service to self, we say that first you must know yourself, as otherwise you simply cannot determine. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Rather than posturing, the service to other individual is most often busy being of service, a mainstay for others. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Mainstay for Others, written July 1995. Oftentimes the service to other individual in the minority on earth is the one who acts as a mainstay for others. They are seldom the one rewarded or applauded, and most often the one quietly plugging away, supporting others. Look around you and you will find them, though you must often look behind the scenes. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The simple test is looking at what another does, their actions, rather than listening to the words. But here a truth test, a critical moment when the person must put themselves at risk in order to help another, is the best determinant. A service-to-self person will not sacrifice themselves or their comfort except as a gesture to impress others. So the motive behind the action needs to be understood. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Actions, written December 2002. Service to other or service to self-orientation cannot be determined strictly by action as a rule of thumb, as it depends. We've explained a gruff person can be self-centered or just angry because they see that harm will come to others unaware. A demanding person might be demanding for the self, although presenting the demands as for others, and this cannot be determined unless one looks to the result of the demand. Someone barking orders can be simply trying to be in control or trying to organize the confused and disoriented. There is simply no way to describe every situation, as they all vary. Service to other or service to self motives are best determined by the result of the action, as a test of motive, and what the individual is willing to do. If a service to other individual is barking orders, saying that everyone should move to higher ground, leaving the food stocks behind, but insists on remaining with the food stocks, then you have your answer. This individual intends to run off with them, most likely, else would suggest that all carry a portion to higher ground, the food stocks in many hands, not just in the hands of the individual barking orders. If a service to other individual is caring for the dying, binding wounds and comforting the frightened, endlessly, for hours, and there is scarcely any benefit to the individual, then they are displaying true service to other behavior. If they are insisting on being in a control room, sitting on the medical supplies, and parsing out based on intellectual decisions as to need, this is suspect. Thus, one should look to the actions, the willingness of the individual to get down and dirty, to share decisions, to disperse goods into many hands, to trust others, etc. This is not an easy answer for those who are not mature souls, who can recognize instantly the orientation of another. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The difference in the orientations can often be seen in the way an individual reacts to news of a coming pole shift or prepares for this. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Pole Shift, written April 2002. A common reaction among humans when first contemplating the pole shift is to think that the better option is to go out with the tidal waves, go down under quake debris, or be blown against a wall by high winds and have it all over with quickly. Most survivors of multiple prolonged disasters sit stunned until death overtakes them. Imagine the World Trade Center disaster without rescue, no foodstuffs brought in, no financial rescue, no media attention. This is, in essence, a depression where less and less is done as time passes. Illness sets in, and those stunned and unable to see a way out are at last given their way out quietly. We present a scenario of struggle to survival in the first place, with travel and terror and living a dual life of uncertainty due to the establishment cover-up. Getting past that as a short-term problem, the larger problem looms like a dark cloud. Life in the aftertime is fraught with dying forests, lack of livestock or flocks or wildlife to eat, and gardens that will not flourish. Add to this the description of a Mad Max world, where a set of laws and a governing body will be non-existent or turned toward self-service, marauding gangs and the need to live forever in a low-profile mode to survive. Then the time frame of a 25-year volcanic gloom, with climate change requiring vegetation to adjust as well as try to regrow, and it seems a long way off before one can sit on the porch in the evening, enjoying the evening. Those with children despair that they will be educated, will live to adulthood without health problems besetting them, rotting teeth, painful disease, only to find that they are bearing offspring into a world that is a nightmare. Those in poor health envision that they will become a burden on others, fear this will occur in slow steps so they will be unaware of it, perhaps senile or comatose due to starvation, and unable to control their life at all. Thus, there are huge worries to anyone taking the message semi-seriously, and the first thought is that this is a nightmare to be avoided. So given this perspective, what is there to live for? Those strongly in the service to others have no problem with this scenario, as they quickly sort out what life for others will be and make their decisions accordingly. This is no different from what they have experienced during every day today. They may be told they have cancer, but consider who is dependent upon them and plot their life accordingly. They may be told someone in the family or a neighbor is going to fall on hard times and adjust their own lifestyle downward to take them in and share what they have. They may be told someone nearby has defaulted on their responsibilities and step in without hesitation to fill the gap, being a father to fatherless children or whatever. Thus, those strongly in the service to others would not be likely to utter a phrase such as, "Why live?" as they know why troubled times in particular require one to be there for others. Those strongly service to self sort this out in a similar manner, but in the other direction. As with their everyday decisions, they look over the situation to see how it might be taken advantage of for their own pleasure or power position. Since victims can be presented at any time, they assume many victims and looting and plundering and savaging potential galore in a post-pole shift situation. Thus, those highly service to self will also not likely say, "Why live?" as they are licking their chops and rubbing their hands together. The undecided are the ones likely to make the statement, "Why live?" as they do not polarize in either direction, but rather think of their own life and how they interact on a daily basis with others, or what they have come to expect as their daily fare. The focus is the self, but as a child focuses on the self. How will this affect me? What will I do when presented with this? Or without that resource I've come to expect will be available to me? The immature spirit pushes the pole shift scenario only out so far to the edge of the cocoon they see as their life, and see this cocoon not there. The job will be gone. Friends and family die and wander off. The store shelves empty. The government offices simply not staffed. And whom do they go to with their complaints? Thus it is the immature, the undecided, who will present leaders in the aftertime with motivation problems. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. During the pole shift, those in the service to other spiritual orientation will often wish to help others in dire need. In this, having a caring heart, they are guided in how to succeed by visitors who are also in the service to other. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Guided, December 2002. Truly service to other individuals are being guided now. This most often starts by the individual giving the call as they see situations around them becoming less secure, changes not explained by the establishment, and wish to continue to aid those they feel responsible for. The call results in visitations, and the service to other individual gets informed of the coming times and is assisted in sorting out their personal plans. The service to other individual often has a last-minute plan to escape with loved ones who will certainly need assistance, to position themselves where they can help others in the immediate aftertime. Often, the service to other individual plans to go into the worst situations, into collapsed cities to rescue the innocent, the orphans, and take them to better places. They are being guided as to where to take these troops of orphans, and this giving of the call and visitations and being guided will only increase during the shift and afterwards. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. After the pole shift, those operating in the service to other will be guided to find those they have lost. It is because they are caring, concerned for those lost, that they get this assist. The caring heart qualifies. And I quote from Zeta Talk, What the Heart Seeks, written January 2004. There is often endless pain when a loved one goes missing or is not confirmed dead. Look at the MIA issue in Vietnam. Those seeking closure imagine their loved ones in pain somewhere, in trouble, needing help, lost, lonely, and are in anguish. What will be lost when the phone lines fail, the mail is no longer delivered? Grandparents worried sick about the young grandchildren in a suburb close to the city, trapped there, apparently, by parents who refused to consider any emergency until the government formally announced it. Is the child wandering alone, injured and starving and frightened? The wife, whose husband was on a construction crew far from home, knowing he is now homeless. A nephew, who always considered his aunt and uncle his parents, wondering how they fared in a river delta when the flooding started, the home and all in it, perhaps, swept away. We have often stated that those heavily in the service to other orientation will be assisted, most often sight unseen, by guides in the aftertime. This will include assistance in reuniting separated loved ones, often as guided migration, to help the heart find what it seeks. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Polarization will occur, is occurring now, where those in the service to other are finding each other and increasing their numbers in communities. The earth at present, during the transformation to a world where only the service to other live, is presenting the same drama and struggle the Star Wars trilogy presented. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Star Wars Today, written May 2005. We have mentioned that increasing polarization of those aligning themselves spiritually with caring for others, those in the service to other, and those aligning themselves with self-interest, those in the service to self, would emerge as the pole shift approached. This was predictable, and has been heavily emphasized in some prophecies, such as those in the Bible, as an indication that the end times had arrived. Why would this be? In the battle for converts, those in the service to self lose out. The vast majority of emerging souls, some 95% on average, choosing the path of empathy. When a world such as the Earth, that has served as a schoolhouse for emerging souls, is about to transform into a world for those who have chosen empathy, a last-ditch effort by those seeking converts for the self-serving occurs. Why hold back to posture for future decades when time is running out? Go for the prize. Turn the screw of fear and hopelessness. Make the rewards for marauding and lying extreme, the better to encourage converts. Caution is thrown to the wind during such times, and the raw hand of greed emerges from the glove of political correctness. The truth is revealed, and those creating problems behind the scenes in the past exposed for what they are. This Star Wars episode, the point where democracy crumbles before the supposed necessity of defending against endless attacks, is the darkest hour, a hero turning to the dark side, the hand of evil at the helm of the Congress applauded as more and more military action is announced. Yet this hand of evil is revealed as the very cause of the disturbances from the start. How similar to the Bush administration, which is accused of being cognizant of 9/11 before it occurred, and which has taken full advantage of the powers granted to it to invade oil-producing countries long in their sights. Do such things happen on other young worlds, where the battle between good and evil is the central issue? Even on worlds where the intelligent life form is a fish, such polarization occurs, as all life forms have alternative actions that can be taken to help those around them or to further themselves solely. On a water world, the issue may be blocking access to lush feeding areas unless cooperation with such militant blocking action is allowed, the strong victimizing the weak. Where the Earth has oil as its predicted energy source, this allowed predictability in the wars in the Middle East, where vast and readily accessible oil reserves reside. Thus the emphasis in prophecy that the Middle East would be the center of the end times wars. The timing of this release, where the Star Wars trilogies were presented with the middle trilogy first, then the first trilogy, and finally the last potentially being released, is hardly by accident. Where the entire Star Wars series is written decades ago, the movie releases were timed by Lucas, who is not ignorant of the times or their meanings. He chose the sequence and the timing, and chose well. Consider the masses, quite used to greed and political power mongering, going into the transformation period, mostly unaware of the significance of the times. America, holding the strongest military power in the world, is viciously and quite obviously attacked on 9/11, with a predictable reaction. The public would presume, at first, a just cause, but given the late arrival of the end times maneuvers, may not have time to understand the outcome. Thus, many decades ago, the first release on film of the Star Wars trilogies were those where the good guys won, though far outnumbered, requiring only courage and conviction to win. With this settled firmly into the public mind, the first trilogy was then released, showing how democracy crumbled, a point that might have been lost if released decades ago. That these films were released only recently is not by accident, as they were timed to coincide with preparations for the end-time maneuvers over the oil fields, so much apparent at the moment. Thus the viewer is assured of the ultimate result, the good guys winning, while dealing, in reality, with those darkest moments on Earth. As we have mentioned, many authors and producers are aware of the alien presence, the approaching pole shift, and the expected polarization of spiritual orientations that occurs going into a transformation. That Lucas should be among them should not be a surprise. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Just as a small band of rebels defeated the forces of darkness in Star Wars, it takes but courage and a caring heart to do the same here on Earth. Just as the Force assisted the rebels in Star Wars, contactees are being assisted by visitors in the service to other orientation. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Coordination, written December 1995. Increasingly, during the transformation, contactees are beginning to work together. They find each other not by accident, not because they are browsing over the same books at the bookstore, not because they are members of the same organization, but because they have been introduced to each other behind the scenes and have plotted their meeting time and place. It is we and our brethren in the service to others who respond to the call of many by arranging these opportunities, which were warmly received and acted upon. These meetings result in marriages, business arrangements, friendships, philanthropic connections, and long-range planning galore. Survival groups are very unobtrusively arranging themselves, neighbor-to-neighbor talks, people meeting in their normal association and identifying each other more so than any kind of organized activity where they answer an ad placed in the paper. They are, in fact, migrating to live close to each other regionally, and by this they are being guided, since often they are meeting each other as contactees. They are most often unaware on a conscious level of why they are making the moves they are making. They make all manner of excuses, pick up and move, change occupations, and find themselves in an area where they get along better with the neighbors, and their particular skill set meshes nicely. This will increasingly happen as the time arrives, and even after, where those survivors will migrate following their instincts more than anything, and finding each other. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Arrangements are often made only in the subconscious until the time is right, only at the last minute. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Pending Partners, written November 2004. There are those who long for the pole shift to begin, as they have structured their lives around what they know deep within them will occur. As with all those who live double lives, this is stressful. Contactees live these double lives, many preferring to dampen conscious knowledge of their status, the visits they have with odd creatures bringing news of an expanding role for the Earth in the future, to avoid constant conflict with family or friends or co-workers. They live two lives, one in secret, shared only with close confidants who are having similar experiences, but unable to be open with lovers or parents or children or childhood friends and priests. Those waiting for the pole shift have similar pain, not due to any fault of their own. They have no control over what is coming, nor any control over the cover-up that prevents open discussion about the physical facts. But their pain is similar because friends and family pull them in the direction of what they term normal living, while the one aware longs for more partnership with friends and family, a chance to talk about the issues without creating yet another argument. They're trying to plan for sudden earth changes while simultaneously living as though this were not going to occur. Those who know the earth changes cannot be avoided have arrived at this conclusion often because they are contactees and have received this information well in advance of the occurrence. For them, each phase of the earth changes, from the arrival of the second sun to the constellations not being right for the seasons, to the earth lurching about, makes their certainty stronger, their resolve stronger, and the pain likewise increased. They feel dangled, twisting slowly in the wind, unable to extricate themselves by going backwards into ignorance, and unable to go forward into partnership with others unless the cover-up is broken or the pole shift sequence begins. And neither seems to be in a hurry to happen. We have spoken often of the fragility of the cover-up, in that those who are participating have been told that panic is the larger enemy, but primarily because they have also been told that no such cataclysmic event as we have described will occur. They have been told that the monster will pass, and that later, when the danger is past, the public could be told. Heads of state, media personalities, weathermen and astronomers alike are told this line, and mostly they believe it because the heart wants to believe this, But what happens when the lie is revealed and the earth tips into days of darkness for the northern hemisphere? This most certainly will be accompanied by a disturbed jet stream beyond what the weatherman can imagine, as cold air moves to warm zones of lighter heated air, while simultaneously being pushed by the rotation of the globe, an unknown maelstrom of fierce and unpredictable storms. And what of the stress on the globe when parts normally aligned with the sun's magnetic influence find themselves straining in two different directions under the dictates of two different magnetic giants? Will the crust protest? Will earthquakes and volcanism be the result? Will those participating in the cover-up maintain a calm exterior and believe the lie they have been told, that this will pass without cataclysmic uproar? The cover-up will drop, suddenly, into a yammering of emotional slips and tearful announcements. One thing is certain, for all the pain that an uncertain wait brings to those longing for partnership with friends and family, for an end to their double lives, there will be a commensurate reward when the pace of change picks up. Those around each who wait in pain are noticing the changes, the strength of their denial a brittle cover over their many concerns. Like the cover-up the elite has foisted upon the world, there will be a rush to partnership. Plans suddenly made, resources available, love expressed among those who realize how short life can be and how precious moments in each other's company. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. When it's obvious to all that the pole shift is about to happen, when the cover-up cracks, group formation will not only occur quickly, it will fall along the spiritual orientation lines for many reasons. Primarily because the service to other will chase the selfish from their ranks and become more strongly service to other, such that the undecided find these new communities a bore and leave. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Sorted Out, written May 2003. Polarization will be natural after the shift, with those undecided leaving highly service to other communities, those highly service to self naturally leave a group highly service to other when they cannot dominate or control them, as the incessant attention to others, to the well-being of others, annoys them. In human society today, service to self can dominate others. They migrate to where this domination has the least resistance among the weak, the young, etc. If in a situation where they cannot rule, dominate, they move on, seeking a better setting. Thus, a man who smacks his wife and children about when they displease him, his endless demands for immediate satisfaction of his wants and needs, leaves his family if he comes under community surveillance or policing. He lines up a new wife in another community and starts this practice again. In the aftertime, he will find these new communities so highly full of service to self that he will have competition, and he will be likely to be the one abused himself. When he leaves and tries to insert himself into a service to other community, he will be rebuffed and sent elsewhere, or will have to abide by rules that frustrate him in the extreme, so he leaves. If he finds an undecided community, he will try to reinstate what he recalls from his past. Now, increasingly, the service to other will separate from the undecided, and certainly separate from the service to self. They will, in essence, disappear. They will thus leave the undecided to fend for themselves with the service to self, so the balance of service to self will increase, and the undecideds then leaving this setting, slipping away endlessly. Thus, the aftertime setting will be 1. Disappearing service to others, 2. Undecideds slipping away to form their own groups, and 3. Service to self left with themselves only. Now, the undecideds will find their life much as it is today in human society, regarding rules and societal expectations. The service to self will find life unlike what they recall, as they will be the picked upon, where they expect to be the dominant person, but this is experience in preparation for their next lifetimes, so it's just as well. And a service to other will find they are meeting new neighbors, the hybrids and other visitors from elsewhere. What is life like in these hybrid communities that service to others desire this and others do not? We've mentioned this already within the body of Zeta Talk, but we'll list the highlights again. There are no secrets. Telepathic knowledge of others, their needs, their desires, their thoughts, is utter and open. This means that you're aware of another's needs and can respond, but this also means that unlike human society today, others are aware of your resentments, your jealousies, and those thoughts you might like to keep secret. There is a sharing of resources and workloads so that what needs to be done is addressed rather than what someone might have planned for the day. This means that your personal agenda, your mission where you will be the star and can feel accomplished, might not be what is considered important. Perhaps you plan to continue writing your book, but must put this aside to harvest fish. An adjunct to this is that taking credit, getting your name in lights, is not considered a necessary part of the action. Your contribution may be behind the scenes, to help someone else achieve, as they are more suited to being the spokesperson than you. Where in human society today this is a big issue, in service to other society, it is a point of satisfaction to help others, the credit and the stage not being the big issue. Thus, those undecided, and especially those highly service to self, find this all stuffy and dull and frustrating, and leave on their own accord. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The spiritually undecided are in the majority on Earth, approximately 65% at the current time, and thus service to others will often find family and friends populated by the undecided. The Zetas recommend pressing the undecided to grow in the direction of a service to other orientation and have some specific advice. And I quote from Zeta Talk, After Time, written April 2002. The undecided have motive in life according to immediate pleasures in the main. When they see suffering before them, they feel compassion and may be motivated to give of their own good or assist, giving of their time, but this motivation vaporizes as soon as the painful situation is out of sight. They quickly react to a threat of having their lifestyle diminished or expectations of them increased such that life becomes more work and less play. Thus, to motivate a spiritually undecided individual is, in the main, to present them with suffering without a buffer, or to present them with a better life should they do this or that. In a survival group where undecideds are mixed in with strongly service to other individuals, the undecided should not be allowed to avoid the sick room or the pathetic crying of hungry infants. Force them into this presence as choices will be made. They will either rise to the occasion and give of their time, being the better for it overall, or get hostile. If the individual gets hostile, they're making an orientation decision that their comfort is more important than assisting the suffering of others. In this, the group can decide if they wish to have this member as a continuing drain, given their obvious orientation and mindset. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Service to other survival communities may have formed, in part, because of assistance by visitors in the service to other. Contactees being assisted to find each other. Contactees being guided to find the right location, or assisted in their chosen role to help others. But after the pole shift, this type of interaction with the visitors will not be at an arm's length. Only during the nighttime visits, for instance, recorded only in the subconscious, but will begin to be conscious contact, and when the conditions are right, communal living. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Hybrid Homes, written July 1995. Will our hybrids take up residence on Earth after the cataclysms? But of course, in service to other communities. This will be selective and cautious, and in most cases, human societies, as much as they can function after the cataclysms, will be unaware. Some of our hybrids will live alone or with us, the full-blood Zetas, and in some cases will live also with humans. The standard of living in these communities will be much higher than you now enjoy, very high-tech, as you say. The hybrids will expect to live as they now live, with automated food production and controlled temperature and light. Science is advanced, and exploration in the sciences is an occupation of almost everyone. The forms of energy and travel will approximate those we, the Zetas, and the hybrids enjoy today. The service to other hybrids and the Zetas will adopt service to other humans into our midst, to some degree. Where there are communities of humans only, who are living in the service to other orientation, these technologies will be given as a gift. Communication, or the sharing of news, is complete and without censorship. Community activities are determined by vote, much as we have described how the Council of Worlds now polls the opinions of people on Earth. Each has a voice, and there is no need to rush to the polls. Most human societies, even when operating under the service to other orientation after the pole shift, will remain strictly human. Some communities solely composed of our hybrids will spring up on Earth after the shift, in areas greatly devastated or on new, uninhabited ground. As our hybrids are not entirely unknown today to some humans, there will also be mixed communities. In these, it is expected that humans will share the technologies enjoyed by our hybrids, thus essentially being adopted. On the whole, these communities will not be that numerous. Recall also that humans adopted will have undergone a great devastation and be essentially homeless. Where humans have prepared for the cataclysms and are operational afterwards, direct adoption by our hybrid communities is not likely. Humans desiring to form service to other communities in preparation for the cataclysms should not concern themselves about physical proximity to the Zeta hybrid communities. We will find you. We do not have our future locations picked out, as this will be dependent on many things. The free will of humans, who will make many changes between now and then, affects the result. Your focus should be on your convenience and being able to achieve your goals, which will not be all that easy. Focus on what you can achieve, and we will be in touch. We will come to you. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Assistance to live in a high-tech lifestyle or share the technology that the visitors now have is very much dependent upon the human survival community being service to other. Since the spiritually undecided comprise 65% of mankind at present, most communities will find some undecided in their midst. This is not a showstopper if those in the service to other are in charge. The danger to be avoided here is to prevent any humans in the service to self from getting their hands on technology. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Characteristics, written January 2001. During the transformation, groups of humans will not be separated entirely by orientations at first. Often, a highly serviced self soul is placed to reincarnate into the arms of highly serviced to other parents, so that both can become familiar with their future situation, where clear polarizing of the orientations will occur. It is often deemed an education, a preparation, to mix these orientations together in family or small communities just prior to a transformation. Thus, during the cataclysms, many highly serviced to other families or small communities may find they have a highly serviced to self child among them, or someone in this orientation who is physically dependent upon them in some way. Do they cast these young children or dependents aside in order to become a fully serviced to other group? This is in conflict with the nature of those in the service to other, especially as there can be no certainty that the child or dependent person has truly decided on a service to self path. What if they are undecided dithering, and abandonment would push them in the wrong direction. The service to other human wants to establish a tone of hope and caring for all in the group. Should these individuals be punished during the aftertime, living in desperate circumstances without help from high-tech hybrid communities, only because they are caring for some who are not fully service to others? There are rules visitors in hybrid communities are under, set by the Council of Worlds, to ensure the transformation proceeds apace and is not delayed unnecessarily. The line where visitors or a community of hybrids can assist their human neighbors, or not, is determined by who controls the community of humans. We will give examples. If the community is led by a consensus of the adults, the majority of whom are service to other, assistance can be given. This community might include some highly self-focused adults, perhaps with young children whom those in the service to other orientation feel responsible for, and thus tolerate the adult parents for the sake of the children. However, these self-focused adults do not rule or even influence the course of affairs in the community. If the community is so mixed as to have its leadership undecided adults, who are as prone to listen to self-focused arguments as arguments with a strong service to other motive, they cannot be given assistance. This line is drawn as these communities would then gain strength, which would surely be misused by those in the service to self in the group, who would take any high-tech assistance to further their power over others. Worse yet, this high-tech advantage would be used to conquer other groups of humans. After the transformation, those in the service to self do have high-tech advantage, but they are strictly quarantined from those in the service to other. This is controlled by the Council of Worlds and prevents those in the service to self from conquering those they would make as their slaves. But during the transformation process, where mixing can occur and frequently does occur, such a strict separation is not possible. Thus, where leadership is not under a service to other motive, these communities cannot have a technological advantage outside of that currently achieved in human society. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And what kind of technological advantage are we talking about here? For example, the ability to have electricity through a perpetual battery given as a gift to service to other communities who would not otherwise be living with the Zetas or hybrids or other visitor groups. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Perpetual Power Pack, written May 1996. During the aftertime, those groups operating firmly in the service to other orientation will find that in addition to encountering aliens walking openly among them and discovering hybrid communities as their neighbors, that they will also be handed portable perpetual power packs. In view of the circumstances, they will scarcely take note. We have stated that service to other groups, where isolated from the possibility of takeover by service to self groups, will receive technology assistance from ourselves and other visitors participating in the transformation. How can a surviving group intent on being service to other and perhaps functioning in the main in that orientation link up with this? If a group has as their mission to assist the general population, saving whom they can from the devastated cities or working in camps that the rich may put up to garner slaves, this technology may not be provided. Where this might seem cruel or insensitive, this does not assist the transformation. Ultimately, more pain and suffering result, as those in the service to self would use any technology to the worst ends. If a group is living in an area which in general is service to other, or isolated by natural barriers such as water or mountains or deserts, such that travel to the locale is limited or virtually impossible by migrating survivors, they are highly likely to be guided to where and when they can receive assistance. They should listen to their inner voice, their subconscious, and follow this when unlikely suggestions are received. Be open to change as moving the group may be required. If a group is open to communication with aliens, visitors from other worlds, and hybrids, and would not experience high anxiety, they are likewise more likely to receive interaction. No technology will be given if anxiety and fear will be greatly increased by this, so having an open heart and mind, not being fearful, is likewise key. Our technology to assist power needs will likely be in the form of a battery. Thus, where a group has all but power input, this can be hooked up and away they go, off and running. Thus, you should concentrate most on a setup that could run from a strong battery bank and worry less about the lack of input when you are off the grid. End of the quote from Zetaton. Encountering the Zeta-human hybrids, or even living with them, will not be a shock to most of those in the service to other communities, as they have likely been working with the hybrids as teammates all along. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Teammates, written March 1996. In anticipation of the roles they will assume during and following the coming cataclysms, the hybrids are increasingly being introduced to their human peers, those in the service to other. They answer the call along with the troops of full-blood Zetas who have been hard at work in this vein for decades. Following the cataclysms, many humans who have been working behind the scenes with hybrids will encounter them and begin working side by side during the chaos as though there were nothing strange in a hairless, telepathic, slender race of men suddenly appearing in the neighborhood. In response to humans in the service to others giving the call, hybrids, full-blood Zetas, and these humans confer, plan, parse out work, review progress, and all with scarcely a moment given to ponder the strangeness of the situation. Humans will join our communities after the pole shift, primarily those of hybrids, though we all live together, in small numbers at first, and in isolated places. Those humans already know who they are, and are anticipating this in their plans. These humans must be highly service to other, meaning they are almost exclusively willing to sacrifice themselves for others if the situation calls for it and is deemed important enough. These humans must also have a strong track record of being able to deal with the unknown, the gray area, without causing others about them to be distracted to attend to them. These humans must be able to focus on a mission and achieve it, to be part of the hard-working team they will join. A gift of one of our batteries, which never wear out, for instance, would be explained by a human, where an alien might have to just leave it on the steps, knock on the door, and run. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And this will move beyond hybrids, which are hominoids, to encounters with visitors in other life forms, startling to humans who may not have encountered intelligent life in any but human form. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Walk Openly, written July 1995. Regarding when and how alien life forms will walk among Homo sapiens openly, this will never occur as expected, as the inhabitants of Earth have been led to believe by watching the movies. You are not alone now, nor have you been for many centuries. Your people's physical form will change gradually, such that you will be unaware of the change. Intelligence will increase, as well the use of telepathy. In some areas, life forms not of the Earth will intermingle with the Earth's inhabitants, but these will be areas remote or involving few people. Word of these places will spread, just as word of far continents of the world spread during the past millennium. Gossip serves a purpose in this respect. It allows for gradual acclimatation. In those places where many life forms intermingle, the people will be aware that they are among friends. Introductions will be made during times of tribulation. The heart is most open when all seems lost. The mind is open to change when the world known before has been turned upside down. It is then that progress toward an open lifestyle will be most rapid. End of the quote from Zeta Talk.